Praise God. If you have your Bible with you this morning, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. I'd like to ask you a question before we get started this morning, and it's not necessarily to put you on the spot, just to make you think. Can anybody tell me what I preached on last Sunday night? Somebody back there claims that they know. Anybody know what I preached on last Sunday morning? Okay, let me make it easier. What did Troy and Christy just sing? Somebody tell what the title of that song was? One More Valley, that's what she got out of it. It'll be worth it all. See how easy it is for us to sit and listen to something and enjoy it, but quickly lose maybe the focus or the title. I know Troy and Christy didn't give us the title, so that's probably what you're hanging up on, trying to find a title of what the song was. And if a person's really honest about it, the preacher that preached last Sunday probably couldn't tell you what he preached on last Sunday without reviewing the notes. How easy it is for us to let things slip through our mind and thinking. And we call it forgetfulness. Sometimes our forgetfulness is based in lacking real attention, real focus. I think the writer of the book of Hebrews here in this passage at least calls us to attention. Called to attention. However that happens, what is the best mode to call you to attention? Does it get your attention when somebody snaps their finger, when they clap their hands, when you're driving down the road and somebody's horn begins to blow? What'd I do? Went through an intersection the other day and some semi laid on its horn. Well, immediately when that air horn goes off, you're looking around trying to figure out what's going to happen. I don't know what the deal was, what he was laying on the horn for, but it was startling. It was attention grabbing. We think in our minds sometime that if the preacher was my favorite preacher, then I would pay attention. Or if the singer was my favorite singers, then I could pay attention. Or if they were singing my favorite song, then I could really get into it. The suggestion has been given, and it's probably a reality, that if it's about the cross, if it's about the blood, if it's about the risen Savior, then it doesn't matter who's preaching it, it doesn't matter who's singing about it, it doesn't matter what songwriter penned the words, it ought to be something to get our attention. Isn't that right when it comes right down to it? What is it that gets your attention? What do you come to church for? What is it that gets you into the mode of worship? I'm talking about worshiping God where we are focused upon Him. The book of Hebrews is a book of the better life, the better way, the better sacrifice, the better priesthood. Paul starts off with a word in the second chapter that should get our attention. It is a call to attention. It's simply the word therefore, the second chapter of Hebrews, the very first word. Webster would tell us that the word therefore means for that reason. For that reason. Or we could say that the word therefore means in light of. It's in light of something. As you look at something, it's because of all of that that now he lays something out. Something is the pivotal point of something that is to be yet given. It's an attention getter. He's calling us to attention. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. But we cannot understand what he is saying and why he is saying that to us in chapter 2 unless we understand why the therefore is there. Chapter 1 is the intro to the book. We see that chapter 1 is an explanation or a fact-giving of the authority and the superiority of Christ over that of the angels, who in times past were used by God to speak to his people or speak his truths. Speaking of his truths, do we give God what we want and have him choose, or do we choose what God wants? The angels spoke, but now in Hebrews we are told that this is something better. This is something bigger. It's superior. The authority is greater because it's coming from God himself through God the Son. Let's pick out a few of the verses here without reading all 14 of them. Let's choose 6 of them this morning, beginning with verse number 3. Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Therefore, we ought to give attention. Therefore, because of, in light of all of that, we need to focus our attention. We need to focus our thinking. We must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So I could ask you the question again, what did the preacher preach on last Sunday? Do you see how easy it is to let something slip? The preaching of the Word of God. I believe that there's 3 things here that the apostle, the writer of the book of Hebrews, is trying to get across to us, trying to get our attention drawn to, calling our attention to. And the first thing that I notice in this passage of Scripture is that the writer is trying to call our attention to our privilege. We are a privileged people. Looking across the congregation this morning, it's obvious that we have been privileged for most of our lives. A lot of us have been privileged all of our lives. This is all that we know. This is all that we've heard. We've heard these things from the very beginning of our lives. Not only have we been in church since our birth, we have been in church for the 9 months prior to our birth. We went all the time. Some people say that mom and dad made us go. I don't know if it was mom and dad making us go. It was just simply a product of our lives. It was just something that was expected of us as children. We knew that there wasn't any reason to question going to church. Some of us, some people somehow in their upbringing get it into their thinking that their parents made them go. And it was a struggle, apparently, to go to church all the time. I don't know that I really ever experienced that. It was just a part of life. Our privilege, the things which we have heard, the precious things revealed to us from Scripture, the privilege that is ours to hold the Bible, God's Word, in our hand. For us, the privilege to open that Bible and to read it. I know we're getting into a point of time in our country where opening God's Word is supposedly a limited opportunity, that we can only do it in certain places. But really, when it comes down to it, we can open our Bible anywhere we choose to read His Word. We are privileged people. As we have the privilege of having His Word in our hand and reading His Word, we are privileged also to hear the call of God's Word to holiness. Not just a flipping of a new leaf, but a change that takes place in a person's life, a new life in Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that would argue it this morning, but really, when it comes down to it, I would say that a lot of us would understand that we have the privilege of hearing the call to the lifestyle of holiness. There's probably not too many here this morning that do not like places at least similar to, maybe not exactly Golden Corral, but places similar to Golden Corral. You just love that Golden Corral style of meal where you can go in, pay one price, and have that selection. It's fun to watch some people as they go through. No, I don't want that. You know, the Brussels sprouts. You got to pass that up. You got to pass up the spinach. You got to pass up whatever that you don't like. Whatever you don't want. You can even do that in a cafeteria style of restaurant where they have the things spread out before you and you're able to go through and pick off whatever you want, and then at the end of the line you pay for all of that selection. You don't have to pay for what you don't want, what you don't take. You just pay for what you want. Do we, in our privileges, when God calls our attention to our privilege and having God's Word, when we think about our privilege, do we take it to the point where we say, or we give God the right to accept our plans, or do we give God the right to direct our plans? There's one word that changes in that statement, in those two statements. Do we give God the right to accept our plans, or do we give God the right to direct our plans? Now, quite often when we get privileges, we take those privileges beyond the point that should be taken, and we take extra privilege. And it's easy sometimes, and I'm afraid it's not just become so easy, but it's become customary of God's people in profession anyway, to say, here God, this is my plan. Here God, this is what I want to do. Here God, this is what I'm going to do. Would you sanction it? It doesn't work that way. We're finding that a reality in our country, in Christendom in our country. I don't know what it is around the world. I'm not there to experience it all. I read different articles and different writings of what's taking places in the churches around, what's taking place in churches around the globe. But I don't see, I'm not reading what I'm reading about the church in the United States. All the way around the world. I'm reading of persecution in other places, and that persecution seems to tighten the belt, as it were, and limits the feeling of their privilege to go beyond God's word. But here in America, we have been blessed over and over again, and it seems like that privilege is taking us to the point where we can say, here, God's my plans, I want you to accept them. And arguing the interpretation so that the interpretation can be acceptable to our plans, rather than going to God and saying, no, I don't see it happening right here. You know, it's a subtle thing how things change. I could spend too much time talking about the subtle changes that do take place. But when we begin to pick and choose the things that we want as though it was a buffet menu from God's Word, we need to call attention to our privilege. Not as though we are a privileged character, but the privilege that is ours of having and holding God's Word. Because God's Word would tell us that we need to look at things through eternity's values. Thank you. I was thinking of optics, but values is right there. I still don't like these bifocals. They still drive me crazy. Many times I switch over to my other ones because they're not bifocals. But it's so real in the spiritual. If we don't have a clear lens to look through, if we are not looking through a clear lens at God's Word, whatever is not in God's Word is a damnable doctrine. The privilege is ours. Calling attention to our privilege, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. But also the writer here is calling our attention to our duty. We ought to give the more earnest heed. Jesus said in Luke's Gospel 13, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Adam Clark said it this way. He said, we should hear the doctrine of Christ with care, candor, and deep concern. I think you've probably heard that before. We should hear the doctrine of Christ with care, candor, and deep concern. What does care mean? What do you think he's talking about here of hearing God's word with care? I think to sum it up very simply, it would be to be interested. Just to show an interest. Have you ever talked to somebody and you knew just by the way they were acting that they didn't care a thing about what you said? I was listening to an interview on the radio the other day, and I got the impression, I couldn't see the people, obviously it was radio. I couldn't see them, but I got the feeling very quickly that the one that was doing the interview was not paying attention to the answers given by the interviewed person. I'm thinking, this guy has a set agenda. He has certain questions he's asking. He doesn't care what the answer is. He's asking questions, and he's going to go through his list and pay no attention to what the guy's saying. You ever talk to someone? Adam Clark said that we should be paying attention with care, with interest. Now, the reason why he's telling us, the writer here is telling us that we need to pay attention, and Adam Clark would tell us to pay attention with care, is to give us caution so that we would avoid danger and avoid harm. What about candor? What's that? Sincerity. That goes along with it too, giving interest to it. Sincerity to the subject and concern to engage the attention, to be of interest and to make it a point of importance. It's been a while since I've heard the song. Maybe we need to resurrect it. You've heard it before? Everybody ought to go to Sunday school. Oh, man. Sing it all the time. Everybody ought to go to vacation Bible school. Everybody ought to. That may have been one of the original 7-Elevens. We just sang it over and over again. I know of some pastors that grieve every Sunday when they come to church or come to Sunday school because a handful of people are there at the time that Sunday school starts, but then by the time classes begin or church begins, then they have the whole group of people. But the importance of being on time or to being at Sunday school has diminished. It used to be sung and felt. Everybody ought to go. Everybody ought to do. Everybody ought to be. But the importance of it has drastically been reduced. It's not a point of interest. It's not a point where people make it a point that's important. Just like the man said Thursday night at the REMC meeting, he's surprised at how many people showed up on such a rainy night for a free hot dog. In so many words, that's not a direct quote, but I think that's close to what he said. You know, how many of you were benefited by that meeting Thursday night except for the free hot dogs? Oh, the fellowship was good too. Yeah, it's good to get together no matter what's going on, huh? No matter how much rain's falling. Polish sausage was better than the hot dogs, I'm sure. But how about our spiritual life? What is it about our spiritual life that is really vital and important to us? The privilege that we have God's Word, the privilege that we hold God's Word, the privilege that we can read God's Word, that we can hear God's Word preached, the duty that is ours to give the more earnest heed brings us then to another point of attention, calling our attention to our danger that we are in. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Clark said that could be paraphrased, lest at any time we should leak out. Leak out. Slip through our thinking. The vessel not being solid, not being proven, the vessel that has not been seasoned. Clark said, superficial hearers lose the benefit of the word preached as the unseasoned vessel does its fluid. Nor can anyone hear to the saving of his soul unless he give most earnest heed, which he will not do unless he consider the dignity of the speaker, the importance of the subject, and the absolute necessity of the salvation of his soul. Is that what makes us swish back and forth? We consider the dignity of the speaker. Is he my favorite one? Do I enjoy hearing him or her, whoever it may be? What about the subject at hand? The importance of the subject. You know, if the subject isn't really something that we're interested in, we're not going to pay too much of attention. I was at a seminar one time. It wasn't a seminar that you're thinking of. It was a seminar that was being taught by none other than Alex Rutledge. Some of you have no clue who Alex Rutledge is, but some of you do. He's a big-name deer hunter. And I was sitting there listening to him in his seminar, and he finally called me out. He said, "Sir, am I boring you?" Right out in the crowd. It was obvious to him that his subject matter was not important to me. Can you imagine that? It's the truth. It was deer hunting, but it was not important to me. That's his impression of what I was, or by the way I was acting. What he didn't know was that Jonathan, as a little bitty tyke, was over there running around and going from boat to boat in the boat showroom. And I was trying to keep an eye on him. I was listening. I wasn't focused. The subject matter, the importance of the subject, or the absolute necessity of the salvation of my soul. Is it of value to me, lest at any time I should let them slip? The pick and choose filter of the buffet. Lest I should let them slip away from me, leak out from me, in one ear and out the other type of hearing. Let them slip away because of the modern deception that is so real around us. Gradually, ever so gradually. You know, the increments of slipping away, the changes that have taken place. Dear friend of mine, someone that my wife and I used to spend time with in their home, he's a pastor in a church. I didn't hear him say it myself, so I'm not real sure how much value I should place in the grapevine, but looking at the lifestyle changes that have taken place, I can accept and believe that what was said is true, that this man said, "It's taken me a long time to get over my upbringing, but I'm finally there." Did it happen overnight? No. He said it took a long time. Could we honestly go and ask that person, did he try to at the beginning? Probably not. He probably wouldn't admit that he tried to at the beginning. But the further, the steps that he took, as it began to leak out, then he found more ways to poke holes in the vessel. The privilege is ours, the things that we have heard. The duty is there for us to give the more earnest heed. The danger is there, lest we should let them slip. Verse 2, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. The steadfastness of the angels' words. The angels' words. Verse 3, how shall we escape? If transgression and disobedience brought the just recompense of reward back in that day, how much greater, how shall we escape if we just simply neglect, let alone let leak out? Which is just going along with what the previous words are saying. It's not an excuse. At least it's not excusable with God. But he's calling our attention to some serious things this morning, that we do not let them slip, that we hear it, that we realize it, that we take it to heart. His call to attention. Let's stand together this morning. The leaking soul soon withers and dries. If you've needed your attention to be called to this morning, don't turn it down. Don't push it aside. But hear the voice of God's word today. It's a call for all of us. Whether we've needed it right now, at this moment, this morning or not, it's a call for us to pay attention to his word. Let's hear the call today. Is every heart clear? Is everyone minded the Lord? Praise the Lord. Sister Amy, would you dismiss us in prayer?